Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello, and welcome to Share Talk. I am Bonnie Hughes. Today, we are speaking with Kibo Energy. They have energy assets in Africa and the UK. Kibo made a major announcement last week that the company would focus on renewable energy projects and will extract value from its coal-fueled projects. Kibo also holds a 55% interest in Mast Energy Developments, an LSC-listed company targeting the development and operation of flexible power plants to service the reserve power generation market in the UK. And they also hold a 25.37% interest in Katora Gold, an AIM-listed company with gold development projects in South Africa and gold and battery metal projects in Tanzania. And here to tell us all about the new developments for the company is Louis Kotze, CEO. Hello, Louis, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Bonnie. Thank you for having me.
So in your RNS on June 16th, Kibo announced a partnership with South Africa-based Industrial Green Solutions to develop a portfolio of waste-to-energy projects. What prompted a change in focus for the company?
Well, Bonnie, we've always, Kibo's strategy has always been very clear in the sense that we are looking at involving ourselves in sustainable energy solutions in the various jurisdictions where we are present. And the latest announcement is actually just a progression on that existing strategy. So it's not an entirely new thing. It's not something that came out of the blue. It's something that we've been working on as per our stated strategy. And we've reached that point now where we believe it's the best time to shift that focus and focus our energy and efforts and resources on the renewable side in particular and to advance that. Now, that has been prompted also by the latest developments in the environment relating to fossil fuels and the increasing opposition and increasing resistance to make use of fossil fuels in energy solutions. Obviously, that had an impact. But we've always stated, Kibo has always been on record, that we are developing an energy, we develop energy solutions that are sustainable within the areas or within the jurisdictions or for the clients that we are developing it. And that sustainability, we've always identified and defined that it must be sustainable in the sense that it must be socioeconomically viable, it must be environmentally viable, and obviously it must also be economically viable to make that. So in a nutshell, what we're just doing is a natural progression on our existing strategy, and we've reached that point now in the implementation and execution of that strategy where we can now focus all our efforts, all our resources, all our attention on pursuing the very lucrative and fast-growing renewable energy sector.
Louis, can you give us an overview of the transaction with Industrial Green Solutions and how it will form Kibo's initial new strategy?
Well, it's part of as I said, part of a strategy that's already in place, that's already developing and evolving. And this particular opportunity provided us with a very ideal opportunity to actually fast-track that side of our strategy. The transaction that we are busy implementing with IGES is one where we will acquire a 65% interest in the waste to energy project portfolio that IGES holds, and we will acquire that interest by making an investment of around about 11 million rand project portfolio. In that project portfolio, there are a number of projects under development. Some of those are in a fairly advanced stage, and actually quite an advanced stage, with one of those projects that has reached a development stage where it is ready to go into construction and into production shortly thereafter. So this will give us the opportunity to, one, get the first project up and running in a short space of time; two, have other projects that are close to or in similar development status that we can pick up and run with very quickly; and in addition to that, to have a further project pipeline, really well-defined project pipeline, where we can keep on developing these projects and bring them on stream or into production over the next couple of years. The initial target is around about 50 megawatts all in total. And this will be focused in the specifically the waste to energy space, where we will be using pyrolysis by turning a non-recyclable plastic into syngas. And with the syngas, we will then fuel the generators with which we will generate electricity. What we're very excited about is that the first project is passed muster on almost all the development criteria that we want for it. It's in a very advanced stage in terms of its permitting, of its licensing, and obviously the latest announcement by the South African government, where they've relaxed the regulatory environment to allow for generation up to 100 megawatt in the private sector or by independent power producers, have put us a tremendous. It's given us a tremendous step forward in getting this up and running very quickly. Why we're also quite excited about it is also because we will be using, and that's why I mentioned it, it's non-recyclable plastic. And that's a big headache, because that, what do you do with that? Where do you go with that? The originators, the entities from where this plastic originates, can't put it in landfill anymore. That's just an environmental nightmare. So what we're excited about is the fact that we've managed to apply existing technology in a fairly unique way to be able to turn this into syngas, and we are solving basically two environmental problems, whereby we are solving a big plastic issue from non-recyclable plastic and at the same time generating electricity in a very environmentally friendly environment.
And what do you see as the long-term opportunities for renewable energy in Africa?
Well, I think one of the biggest benefits that we have here is that in Africa, we have a couple of things that we need to consider. The first thing is that there is still a dramatic shortage. I almost want to say an undefinable need and requirement and urgency for baseload power. Together with that, you also need to develop regional needs, localized needs for communities, for smaller towns, for villages, and so on, which can't wait until the baseload is developed. And in the third place, you also have a situation where the regulatory environment and technological environment is such that we can now introduce into this the latest, most cutting-edge technology to solve all of these problems without having to go through a long period of trial and error. Now, if you combine all of this, that means that in specifically the renewable space, there are tremendous opportunities to solve the tremendous, huge energy need of South Africa. You know, I mean, there's about 600 million people in Africa living without electricity. 600 million people that are dependent for their basic energy needs on things like burning charcoal and other sources of fossil fuels, which has got a far worse impact on the environment and on environment than anything else. So if I can summarize that, there's a huge opportunity to take advantage of an evolving regulatory and statutory environment, which is open, which is welcoming new technology, which is pursuing the opportunities in renewable. It is also the need manifests in such a way that you can utilize renewables. And thirdly, I think the environmental imperative also supports the pursuit of these type of projects.
It's good to hear that Africa is taking a step forward towards the future. So part of your plan is to dispose of the coal assets. Is this in order to provide capital for the future waste to energy projects you're pursuing?
Once again, Bonnie, I'm probably repeating myself, but Kibo has been on record for the longest time that we've said that we are pursuing these projects because we believe that this is the only solution on the short to medium term to address the desperate need for baseload power in the African context. We have not changed our view on that. We still believe that these projects, these coal-fired projects, if, and I have to qualify that, if they are implemented with due care, with due consideration for the environment, then that's basically the only way that we can solve the critical areas of baseload need. Having said that, we've always said that we will involve ourselves only in these projects if we can see a clear way where we can transition this into renewable over time. So that's always been our view. And we believe that, that we've reached that point where we've added enough value in these projects. And apart from the direct environmental considerations, we've now reached a point where these coal projects, as I've defined them just now, will play, or they will realize in an environment where they play a very critical and strategic role in addressing and stabilizing the energy or the strategic energy needs of countries where they will still be allowed to go forward. Having said that, it means that any coal-fired project that will go forward will have to tick a lot of boxes, but most importantly, it will have to be the governments of the countries where they are will have to show to funders and to other stakeholders that they have no other option. This is their only option from a strategic point of view to enhance, to maintain, to retain, to grow their socioeconomic agenda, socioeconomic development program, and to secure energy stability. Now, that means that this is going to become an exclusive area. It's going to be becoming a very exclusive environment in which these projects will be developed. They will by default be more costly. They will by default take longer. They will by default have to go through much more vetting processes. And that's not the space where we as a junior developer of these projects should find ourselves. We have projects that we've developed that we believe fit this bill perfectly and puts us in a position where we can put these forward for those entities, those big developers that are able to play within the environment that I've explained just now. But it also gives us the opportunity to position them in exactly where we want them as a transitional project, a project that transitions away from fossil fuels over time into renewable solutions.
Based on that strategy, are you looking at other opportunities and acquisitions in the renewable space?
We are always looking for new opportunities and new acquisitions and for new ways to grow and realize value in the company. So yes, we are definitely looking at that, but our entire focus at the moment is on getting the first projects that we have on our books or bringing onto our books at the moment to get those into production as quickly as possible and to get revenue generation going in the company. In fact, we are at the moment looking at projects. When we take on any new projects, they must be in a position where they can, where we can realistically see them going into revenue generation mode within 12 to 18 months from the time that we sign them on. So we have a very, very clear focus at the moment on getting the first projects that we have up and running into production, into revenue generation. But in parallel, we continue to look at other opportunities and at ways of continuing to grow the company's energy portfolio.
And what news flow can investors expect in the coming weeks?
Well, I mean, I think at this point in time, if you look at the announcement that we made last week, you know, in terms of the strategy that we're busy developing for the big utility scale baseload power projects that we have, there's obviously going to be some news flow coming from that, just looking at the RNS. Similarly, also in terms of the development path that we've set for the other projects that we're working on, we would expect that that we will see some exciting news flow out of those as well as we continue to develop them.
Well, thank you, Louis, for joining us. And we look forward to hearing more of your news and speaking with you again.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
And thank you very much for joining us on Share Talk.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.